Good morning, Fort McMurray with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down and check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Hi, I'm Sandy Rogers. I own Rendezvous Photography. I've been in town for 20 plus years. I've been in photography since 2016. I've joined the Professional Photographers of Canada. I've recently been accredited with portraiture. It's an excellent milestone. It took like a year to get there, so.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and all our other photographers out there in Fort McMurray, if you want to join PPOC, you're all welcome to. Message me, find out more.
Very cool. Now, I'm just going to start it off because I know Tanner has an opinion on this one. What kind of cameras do you shoot with?
Canon. Yeah.
What kind of Canon?
I have two R6s.
Okay.
Yeah. We all make mistakes. Sometimes it's okay.
Tanner right. is a Nikon guy.
Nikon. Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Right. Being right isn't for everyone. So.
that's it.
Shots fired.
Yeah, when... Crystal Mercury came on, she was all about Sony's, and then we told her about our nightmares with Sony. Yeah. Anyway, Sony ended up messaging like her and us. Canon will reach out to you. I think this camera is Canon that we're filming on today, but the rest are Nikons.
Oh, yeah. Yours is Canon.
I have Canons. Yeah, he has Canon. Nikons. Yeah. I like them, they're easy to use.
Yeah. All my lenses are Canon, everything Canon. I should probably be a Canon ambassador, but...
If they're listening, this is it. This is it. So what got you into photography?
I guess it's kind of like I had a child and was like picked up a camera. I think it was like a T3i was my first one. So Canon.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I just started shooting and then... I was like, how do I get better? So I started taking courses through the Burrell School of Photography back in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I started my business. So, yeah. And then I'm like, how do I want to get to a professional level? Then I joined PPOC.
Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to the photography that you do, everybody has their own skill set or niche or in like way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like what kind of photos are you taking?
Well, I do lots of corporate events. Cultural events, weddings, portraits, headshots.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing headshots and portraits, do you have a studio?
Yes. It's at the Bob Land Center.
Okay. Yes. So you're like official.
Yes.
All right. How big? What does your studio look like? This is our studio. Mm. Does it look anything like ours or the main office, or is it a little bit more subdued?
It's probably about the same width, just a little bit longer.
Oh, of this office here?
Of this office here, yeah.
Okay, cool. And how long have you been in that spot for?
Since last year, October.
What's that like being in the Bob Lamb Center?
It's professional.
Yeah, because it's traditionally like it's attached to Keanu College. My mom used to teach there. I've spent lots of time in the Bob Lamb Center. I've never gone in there for a business that's not... like accredited some for like in education in one way, shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you're in there, do you like chat with the other people who work for the college, or like what's the interaction with when you're in a building that's all college based people, students and or teachers?
I usually shoot more evening weekends. So during the day, so I don't really interact a whole lot with the other students or teachers or whatnot, but yeah.
And so you have the building to yourself. It's like House of the Museum in there when you're there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's really no one there.
Night at the Museum.
Yeah.
Thank you. Museum. Yeah, I never get any of those things right. Like titles, I'm horrible with, or sayings. My parents are immigrants, right? So they say all the sayings wrong.
So,
but I learned how to say those sayings based on them. So there's like that one saying, like, kill two birds with one stone.
Okay.
I only learned how to say that properly, like, maybe this year.
Two birds stoned at once.
Yeah, like I was saying all the wrong things. So Tanner corrects me on my stuff quite often. Nice. So, but yeah, you're by yourself when you're in there then.
Usually, yeah, me and a client or whatnot.
Yeah, nice. And so why did you think it was pertinent to have studio space?
I used to own a house and I had my basement converted into a studio.
Okay.
So when I sold my house, I didn't have the studio anymore.
Right.
So I wanted something a little more professional, so where I could do like corporate headshots and things like that. So, because sometimes the people are like walking downstairs and they're like, yeah, this is where your studio is? Okay, maybe I should look at something a little more professional.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Especially if you're taking a photo of them, you want them to be as like natural as possible. And if they're in their head already thinking about something else, that could be an issue.
Yeah.
True. You know, if you need to go, just walk right out. It's all good. No worries. Okay. So you were saying that you've been in Fort McMurray for a long time.
Yeah.
What brought you here initially, and like, why did you stay? Why are you still back? Like, let's hear a little bit about your story.
Okay. I moved here when I was 19 in 2000. The mine shut down in Grand Cache. So I moved here with my parents. Basically nothing. Really kind of a ghost town. It's still there, but there's not much really going on there. And then stayed here until about 2004, 2005. I moved to Edmonton for a few years, so the whole family life thing, and then moved back in 2009.
And here you are.
Yeah. I tried to leave during the fires too, but that didn't work out.
When you try to leave, what do you mean? Like, we all had to leave during the fire.
Right? We had to leave? Yeah. No, I was selling my house when the fires were happening.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Nice. Did it sell after or before the fire?
Oh, it was like way after.
Okay.
Yeah, I decided to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good time to try to sell your house, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We won't talk about like the money you made there, but that was a good time to sell just because people were looking.
Yeah, I didn't sell then. I sold in 2019.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was a little down more.
That's all right.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. It's not the best, but
no,
it didn't bankrupt you, obviously. You're still in existence.
I am, yeah, there I'm still go. Here.
Are you allowed, because not a lot of people are you allowed to talk about what you do full-time, or do you not want to talk about that?
No, I can talk about what I do full-time.
Yeah, because I know what you do full-time, so yeah. I'm trying to like skirt around it, because some people, when they come in, their companies don't allow them, so I wasn't sure if you were...
As far as I know.
Yeah, you're allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah, based on, you would know too, based on the position you hold.
I'm a safety supervisor for Center Fire Group companies.
That's a big company.
Yeah, full time. And then, so that's why the evenings and weekends with the Bob Lund Center.
This podcast is primarily Fort McMurray based, and safety is a big thing in this community. How did you get involved in the safety? And like, I think a lot of people, and this is why I was excited to have you here, kind of view safety as just the safety officer. But there's so much more that goes into safety.
Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch more.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
The behind the scenes of safety. I guess it's a lot of like paperwork and stats and PR.
Yeah. And so what does that mean? Like when you say paperwork, stats, PR, like explain that to me a little
bit. So paperwork, like policies, procedures, manuals, dealing with incidents, managing your incidents, getting the people back to work, things like that.
It's a huge, huge undertaking to do. When it comes to the return to work policies, how is that looking like nowadays? I've been so removed from human resources since starting this company. I have to do it for my own staff, but like, this is a cakewalk in comparison to Acuren. So I only got a handful of people I got to worry about.
Yeah.
But like when you're safety and you're dealing with that many people on that many sites, like how do you like form that corporate culture to get people on board with the messaging that you're trying to promote?
Well, I have a bunch of safeties under me too that help implement our programs and things like that. So Mm-hmm. They help a lot.
How many people work for you, or underneath you, would you say?
About 17, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, how do you manage those people?
That's
a lot of people.
They're really easy. They pretty much take care of themselves, things like that. But just basically I'll go out and do a site visit, do a tour, and build those relationships. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And after X amount of years in the community, you've definitely built a lot of those relationships, no doubt about that. Where is your organization based? I gotta be honest, I only heard about your organization initially because they sponsored the Ficwood Arena, and so now you guys have like the naming rights for that. So then that's when that organization came on my radar. Mm-hmm. And then I started looking into them years ago and I was like, oh crap, like this is a really big indigenous company in Fort McMurray. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, so one of their offices is based out in Anzac. So you'll see the rooftop when you're driving towards Anzac, which I think is the neatest thing. But there is another office in Gregoire where my office is.
Okay. So it isn't.
And that's where all the groups hang out.
Right, right. Yeah, because I was just like, it's got to be a huge organization. So or with the head office, either like you said in Gregoire, or I was like, maybe you would be in Taganova, but it makes sense that you guys are up there.
Yeah.
And how long have you been working with them now for?
Since last year, October.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so are you doing day-to-day safety, turnaround safety? Like what kind of preview do you have over that realm?
Day-to-day.
Yeah, so maintenance at all the sites.
Yeah.
And do you guys explain, just this is a good plug, what does your company actually do?
We do all kinds of things. Yeah. We're a lot of civil. So Center Fire themselves are civil. Then we have the other group of companies like Fort McKay, Alcor, Element Controls, Club, Canyon. They do a bunch of different things. They move camps and things like that. So they'll dismantle, remantle, things like that. Yeah.
Oh.
Element Controls is electrical based.
So your job as a safety person is very diverse with this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
When it comes to safety, because I know I literally just filmed right before you came here with a guy who was doing human resources, and we were chatting about whoever you have as your HR person, that's kind of the energy that your company kind of has. Mm-hmm. And so you have to know who that person is, what their goals are, what they're trying to achieve, because it is really what they're thinking is the policy they're going to write, and then how it's enforced is based on that individual.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to safety, how do you go into a new work? Because I know you've been doing safety for a very long time. So when you first step into a new company, how do you assess and move forward with whatever their safety culture has been?
Usually, I'll do site tours, build relationships, see how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll kind of assess where there's gaps, where we need to improve, things like that, and then go from there.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it lonely?
No.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So who do you hang out with then at work? If you don't, because that was the one thing, when I was in human resources, once you're in management in those roles, you're isolated to the group. I could not be friends with the staff, even though I thought they were cool. A lot of them, I was I could see how you and I could hang out. But I always did find it lonely once you get into management.
Yeah, well, I do travel a lot, as far as 2 hours north to 2 hours south. So during the week, I'll collaborate with management as well and my workers and things like that, so
right,
I find there's still a lot of collaboration there.
Yeah. You spend a lot of time in your car. What are you doing in your car? Podcasts, music?
Yeah.
Accident morning show. There's no way you're listening to this. I don't believe you for a second.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And I don't take offense. I don't watch this podcast. So
what's it called?
Yeah, exactly. You forget sometimes. Speaking of, are you doing your questions today or no? No questions from Tanner. Okay. So what are you doing in your car?
I'm usually just listening to tunes.
What kind of tunes?
Radio.
Just local radio?
I'll flick through all of the radio stations, though.
So country, Christian, French.
Christian. Right, I forgot we had those.
Yeah,
radio
I'm
stations.
Saying.
Yeah, right. The three main good ones.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, so you're a radio listener.
Mm-hmm.
Of all kind of genre of music you like?
Yeah, yeah.
Country?
Not so much country.
EDM?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know.
So you're
sometimes,
pop.
I guess. More like pop, yeah.
Okay. Because when you first, we know a little bit about each other.
Hmm.
You did some work for us this weekend at the Canada Day pre-party. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So I know you used to work in bars.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're working in a bar and you're listening to music, though, like,
mm-hmm.
I just assume that everybody who's working in a bar
mm-hmm.
likes music because you're literally inundated with it.
Yeah.
Was that the case when you chose to work in that environment, or you just, you know?
It was just whatever DJ was playing.
Really? So yeah. There was no like, these are bangers, these aren't, like...
Yeah, I don't know, I just like all genres, so I just kind of, whatever sounds good to me at the time, I guess.
Right? Yeah,
and it'll change from time to time. It'd be like, this is a banger song, tomorrow it's not.
Yeah. So with the music that you listened to down at our event, what did you think about that?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what would you call that, Tanner? What, like?
That's like bass house.
Bass house.
Tech house.
Yeah, it was all like mixed.
Yeah, right? A bunch of different genres. Like
yeah. Okay, so that's more of what you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in the radio.
Yeah.
Your game for whatever, except for the Francophone and Christian radio station.
Except for those two.
Yeah, sorry. Like, I had no idea because I never listened to radio. This is a few years ago, by the way, for this story. But I was like in a car and they had the radio on, so I was just like flicking, and then it got to the Christian radio station, and so I was listening to all this music, and I could hear like, this has like a certain type of messaging going on behind it, and then my buddy was just like, yeah man, this is Christian radio. I'm like, I had no idea that we had like a Christian radio. I found out Chaos and yada yada, I found out all about you guys, but yeah, I had no idea that we had a Christian radio station like here in Fort McMurray.
Yeah, my nephew, he's very Christian, and he goes to a Christian church, and they play like live music and stuff like that too. They have a live band that plays. I was like, oh, that's really neat. So when he got married and I did his photos, there was all like live Christian band. I was like, this is excellent.
Is he good?
Oh, he just attends the church.
Is his band like that plays the music any good?
Yeah, they were really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's not always the case.
Not something I'm gonna listen to every day.
No. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Nerdy story, but it's a true story. When I was in going into grade 12, so the summer between grade 11 and grade 12, my basketball coach convinced me to go to this like Bible camp, like straight up Bible camp.
Wow.
Like I went to St. Albert, I lived in the cemetery, or like the cemetery is right next door. They call it a monastery or some nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyways. I'm there, I set up in my little room, and I have my like my CD player and my stereo speakers, and some of the really hardcore Catholic guys came in, like, hey Elliot, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm doing good. And like, oh, you like music, what kind of music do you like? And I said, oh, I like rap music. And they're like, oh, we have some rap. I'm like, sweet, put it in. And they put in a bunch of Christian rap.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh no. Because this is back in like the 90s. So like, I don't know if Christian rap has improved, but it was horrible.
Was it?
So bad. So they're playing and they're jamming out to this nonsense. Like pure nonsense. Like I'm not a negative guy, but if it's not good, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so after they finished their three or four songs, they're like, Elliot, put your stuff in. And I was just like, no, we're good. I'm good, man. Don't worry about it. And they're like, no. And I put in Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been so unpopular in my life.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those six guys are just like, yeah, you know what? I don't know. It's like, yeah, I get it. Don't worry. I don't think our musical tastes really align very well. So I've been to Grand Cache a few times when it was still mine. Like I had family that lived down there. It was a beautiful community.
Okay, yeah.
But you've mentioned it's like a ghost town now. Like,
well, there's just I don't think there's anything going on with the mine right now, but there still was like a mill. And,
So what's the population?
Guesstimate.
Obviously, you don't work for the municipality.
Maybe 1,500, 2,000, maybe.
Oh, yeah. So it really has changed the landscape of that community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I had an uncle that lived and worked at the mine, and like yourself, once it closed down, he moved to Fort McMurray. And so, yeah, like same thing with Tumbler Ridge. I know, late 2000s, late 90s, we had a huge influx from Tumbler Ridge. Of people. I'm aging myself very much.
I know, I was just thinking like...
Just so we're on the same page, I ain't young. So, you came during that time frame. You said you were 19 So you'd graduated high school then when you moved here, or did you have to attend high school?
Oh, I had to go back and finish my high school.
What high school did you pick?
I live downtown, so I went to Comp.
That's one right choice.
I went to Murky, went to Comp. We have an ongoing competition. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of tough then.
I guess. I don't know. I was 21 when I went back to high school. Oh. So I just went in and I did my year and...
Right.
Yeah.
Got in, got out. That's okay. Right. What was that experience like as like a 21-year-old going back to school?
It was really embarrassing at first. And then I just was like, just buckle down, do what you need to do, because I wanted to go to Keanu.
Yeah.
And I took the trades program through them, the MCTP at that time.
Yeah.
Then I decided to be a machinist. So I did machining for a few years.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I moved to Edmonton, and I was a machinist there for a couple years, and then I came back, and then that's when I started my safety.
Cool.
Yeah.
My father-in-law and my brother-in-law are both machinists.
Oh, really?
I know way too much about your trade for somebody who's not a machinist.
Yeah.
So, crap. Tanner tapped his watch. So that means we're out of time. Okay. But before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug.
Okay.
So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Shout-out to what?
I don't know. It could be anything. Your business, your mom, your dad, your cat, your car. We've had some wild shout outs here, so whatever you want to shout out.
Shout out to PBOC for raising the bar and teaching us new things and doing conferences twice a year. And yeah, shout out to Rendezvous Photography.
There we go. Yeah. Awesome. Well, for McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.